following program is pre-recorded.
Center in Plano, Texas, this is Hope in the Night, late night talk radio offering biblical hope and practical help, and on the air now for over 25 years. I'm Jeff Oliver, here with author and speaker June Hunt. June, I think when many times as people think, what is it like, what would it mean for me to be in the center of God's will? Many times the answer, or the probably the desired answer or outcome, would not be in a crucible, being tried and being tested. So shed some light on that, if you would.
It's interesting that you mention crucible. There was a time when I didn't know that word. A crucible is a clay pot, or a pot that will not be deteriorating if you put it in a furnace, and the furnace is going to harden and actually be used by God to, it's usually putting, I'm going to use the term, nuggets of gold, or it could be silver also, but it's to enable us to have impurities that will come out in the heat. If you put this crucible and you put like ore in there, and it could have properties that will actually make a difference, and you could have gold that would come out, or silver. But the point is, didn't mean to get into all that. It's interesting. We are called to be in the crucible. And what that means is you're called to be committed. I'm going to give several things. To be committed. God calls us to endure the pain of unjust suffering. This is very clear in 1 Peter 2. The pain of unjust suffering as part of our commitment to follow Christ. Just as Jesus experienced unjust suffering, to follow in his footsteps means you will experience unjust suffering. There's a very interesting scripture. I actually really respond to this, because there was a point in time when I could not understand why the trials were going on in my life. This is 1 Peter 2, beginning in verse 19. It is commendable if someone bears under the pain of unjust suffering because they are conscious of God. But how is it to your credit if you receive a beating for doing wrong and endure it? But if you suffer for doing good and you endure it, this is commendable before God. To this you were called, because Christ suffered for you, leaving you an example that you should follow in his steps. Listen to this. He committed no sin, talking about Jesus. No deceit was found in his mouth. When they hurled insults at him, he did not retaliate. When he suffered, he made no threats, and this is the most important part. Instead, he entrusted himself to him, that's the Heavenly Father, to him who judges justly. So when we are in a furnace of affliction, I think this is graphic, Jeff, if we are suffering, and it can be unjust suffering, the Bible says Jesus entrusted himself to the Father who judges justly. Mm. You're going to be judged justly.
Yes.
And that's important. So we're called to be committed in a positive way. This is not committed into an insane asylum. We're talking about to have a commitment to Christ. You're called to be corrected. God disciplines us because he loves us. We are his beloved children. And selfish desires or selfish choices may detour us from God's preferred path for our lives. And we may suffer consequences or the wrong choices, but our Heavenly Father will direct our steps and put us back on a correction course. That's why the Bible says, and this is Hebrews 12:7, endure hardship as discipline. God is treating you as his children, for what children are not disciplined by their father, meaning a conscientious father, will discipline the children. And at times we can go, I don't like this. I can't understand. Why am I experiencing this? Many times we cannot see at the moment what God is doing until later. I think the issue here is endure hardship as discipline. God is treating you as his children, and that's huge. And then we're called to be compassionate. Suffering, however painful, can become the catalyst that gives us a heart of compassion for others. I experienced that firsthand because of my upbringing. During times of trial, our most lasting lessons come from the comfort and counsel that we receive from God through times of trial. And we are told, that the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort comforts us in all of our troubles so that we can comfort those in any trouble that we ourselves have received from God.
Hi, it's Dr. Eric Scalise with Hope for the Heart. I've often said if COVID was the earthquake that shook the world, then the mental health crisis is the tsunami that followed. Addiction, anxiety, depression, grief, and more. Now is the time for the church to step up and care for people who are struggling and broken. I would like to invite you to our event on mental health and the church, hosted by Hope for the Heart, Saturday, June 22nd, right here in Plano, Texas, and we'll be live streaming as well. We have an incredible lineup of speakers, both pastors and counselors, including George Barna, Greg Steer, our own June Hunt, and more, discussing how you can best care for those struggling with mental health issues in your church and community. Learn more and sign up at hopefortheheart.org/church. That's hopefortheheart.org/church. I really hope to see you there.
Do you ever struggle to believe that God loves you, that he accepts you, forgives you, and sees you as his precious, beloved child? So many people have a distorted picture of God, that he is distant, disappointed, or doesn't care about what's going on in our lives. The truth is, God cares about you more than you know. We want to encourage you to check out June Hunt's popular devotional, Seeing Yourself Through God's Eyes. In this 31-day devotional, June Hunt provides compassionate, biblical insight to help you understand and embrace the life-changing identity you have in Christ. Each day provides a biblical truth, along with a short reflection and journaling questions to help you see yourself through God's eyes. We give this devotional to every caller on Hope in the Night because it has changed so many lives over the years. Get a copy of June Hunt's devotional for yourself or a loved one at junehunt.org. That's junehunt.org.
You're listening to Hope in the Night with June Hunt. I'm Jeff Oliver, and we'll get to our caller in a moment. If you have any questions about tonight's topic, anything we cover here, any number of topics that you might have on your mind, maybe there's a situation in your life you'd like to get some information, some insight on, we have over 100 topics. They're called Keys for Living that will help you address your situation. Those Keys for Living provide biblical hope and practical help on so many topics, and we'd like to help you with whatever you're dealing with and what's going to help you the most. So call our customer support team at 800-488-HOPE. That's anytime Monday through Friday, 8 to 5 Central Time, and they're happy to help you to get the right materials in your hands. I do want to recommend one of our Keys for Living. As June was talking about a crucible and what that does, you'll find that story
and a lot of help in the Keys for Living on Trials called God's Refining Fire. Again, Trials, God's Refining Fire. And that's available as you call customer support at 800-488-HOPE. They'd like to order that for you if that's what the resource that you're going to need to take a look at. Also, take a look at our website, which is hopefortheheart.org/store. You'll find all of the Keys for Living there. Also, Bible studies, other books that June has produced over the years. So it's all there at hopefortheheart.org/store. Well, let's get to our caller for tonight, and we have a listener on 101.1 The Bridge in Texas. We welcome tonight Yoli.
Well, hello, Yoli. Welcome to Hope.
Thank you, Sister June.
Thank you. How can we help you?
All right, so my main thing is that I think I have sabotaged and I run away from things. And my decisions, I believe, have been affected by the traumas that I endured as a child.
Hmm. Now, when you say, I think I have sabotaged, what are you saying you have sabotaged?
Well, I'd like to just give the most recent one.
Okay.
So I was in California in April of 2023.
Okay.
And I was accepted into housing. I was going to have my own place for I'm a senior. And I forfeited that, and I came to Texas. And over $3,000 expenses to move to Texas.
Mm-hmm.
And I did it for my son, for my grandkids, because he said, Mom, I could really use your help with the kids. So mm-hmm. I was really elated, and I
yes.
thought that was it. And I prayed about it as well, and I thought I heard from the Holy Spirit. But it did not work out. So consequently, I don't have a place to stay. I've been in my vehicle since like July 5th of 23. And what I'm saying is I feel like I sabotaged myself because I had a place. I was on the verge of moving into a place in California. And then I just gave all that up and came to Texas.
It sounds like you did it for a good purpose because you were asked as a grandparent, is that correct, to help with the kids? Did I hear that correctly?
Yes, you did.
Okay, so it sounded like the motive was right.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, but it hasn't turned out right, at least what's best in your view. Now, am I understanding that you came to Texas and you've been living in a van in the summer?
Yes, I endured the Texas heat of 23.
That's what I was wondering about. I mean, it can get quite warm. Okay, so what happened when you came to Texas and I thought you said your son was going to be valuing your help. And that
yes.
sounded, you said you were elated. Okay, what happened?
So when we got to his home, and he has a wife, and everything was going well. Like, I could deal with, you know, she's not a housekeeper at all. But that was mm-hmm. okay, because I'm a servant of the Lord. And I know when I show up, I just say, okay, Holy Spirit, what should I do? How should I move? And the Holy Spirit just said, you know, just start cleaning. So I just started cleaning, and it was no big deal. I love to clean. But then my first sign was I had a chain up on a high shelf in my son's office where I was living. They had me on a little rollout bed, and the chain came up broken. So I knew it wasn't my grandchildren. Which they were 2 and 7 at the time. So I knew it was not the kids, and I knew it wasn't my son, and I knew it wasn't me. So I knew that she had broken this. And so that was just like my first indication, like, okay, something's off. She's not happy about me being here. even though I spoke with her before I came on the phone, and I asked her, okay, if I come, because I want to respect you as the woman of the house.
Yes.
And she said, yeah, Mom, it's fine. And so I came, and there was just a lot of other things. This June, there were, like, spirits in the house, lasciviousness, idolatry, vulgarity, very disrespectful to my son, things that I witnessed as a mother that hurt me, and I kept it to myself. I didn't want to start confusion or any strife or anything. But mostly, there is just like a, like when we speak about a cloud hovering over something, there's a huge spirit of rebellion in his wife. And so that was, that filtered down to even my grandkids. And so I was correcting them and they listened to me. But that was mostly it. And then I was just like, my spirit was so grieved looking at just the home setting, how my son was a vet and he was working these long hours and she just wasn't supporting the family dynamic at all.
Okay. So what we have here is a mother-in-law, daughter-in-law dilemma. And you wanted to come in and be a help, but somehow it appears to you that the daughter-in-law is not being even helpful and supportive of your son. Is that correct?
Yes, that's correct.
Okay. So what are you thinking? I understand now. Instead of staying in the home, you've been living in your vehicle. And I'm assuming that that isn't going to be a permanent solution. Is that correct?
No, it cannot be.
Okay. So what is your plan right now?
Working, trying to get a second job, because the places that I've applied for, they say I'm under the income requirement.
Under the, not over, but under. Explain that.
Well, like any place that you go to, say a place to rent, they have income guidelines. And so because I'm only part-time, I'm under their income minimum requirement. I'll have to make a certain amount, and I don't make that.
Okay, so it sounds like you're talking about having or wanting to have two jobs, both part-time, which that would result in essence, like a full-time job if you have two part-time jobs. Am I correct about that?
Yes.
Okay. So, do I understand that you do have one job, correct? But you're looking for a second job.
Yes.
And what is happening on that front?
What do you mean on what side?
Well,
you mean
how are you being successful in finding a second job?
Yes, right.
Oh,
someone called me
okay.
this week for an interview.
Okay. And what kind of work do you enjoy doing?
Did you say what kind of work?
Yeah, what kind of job or work do you enjoy doing?
Oh, I'm an educator. I love teaching children. So I've been a teacher at a preschool, Montessori, things of that nature.
Oh, wow. That's creative. So
after mommy too.
Wonderful. Okay. And so as an educator, am I understanding now you are going to have a second job? And by the way, let me make a comment. One thing that I have noticed over and over, sometimes people come in at one level for employment, and people are noticing, here is a person, they're going to observe, and many times people, if they are wanting to hire somebody in a full-time position, because of that person being on site, they're watching the competency, the follow-through, the atmosphere of what is left when a person engages with others. A lot of times they can get a job that they weren't anticipating, but because it's like my grandmother had an old saying, the cream always rises to the top. The cream always rises to the top. In other words, over time, people notice those who are good employees and needful in terms of the workforce. So, and that has happened at our ministry a number of times. We would hire someone part-time or even a volunteer for a particular place, a position. And then all of a sudden it's like, oh, here's a slot. We would really like that person. We see the track record or the performance, and we believe that person would be a good candidate for this position over here that they didn't even try to qualify for. So the good news is if you are at a place where you enjoy the work, as you pray, God, put me where you have given me skills. Put me where you want me, and I'm willing to be the best employee I can possibly be, and I'm willing to learn whatever I need to learn. So I'm just saying that as an encouragement to you, because it sounds as though you've had some turmoil. Things did not turn out as anticipated. But if you're an educator, as you've said, then you understand working with people can be a challenge, but it...
Are you struggling with a difficult life issue? Maybe it's a family problem, a private struggle, or something in your past you've never resolved. The good news is, you are not alone. For more than 25 years on Hope in the Night, June Hunt has listened to thousands of personal stories, heartaches, and challenges from people like you, and provided compassionate counsel from God's Word. No matter what the issue is, family, marriage, abuse, grief, or just the daily stresses of work and life, June would love to talk with you and share help and hope through God's Word. If you'd like to talk with June on Hope in the Night, give us a call at 1-800-NIGHT-17. We'll protect your privacy, and sharing your story might bless someone else's life. Give us a call today at 1-800-644-4817. That's 1-800-644-4817.
If you have ever wondered what the Bible says about real life issues, then you need to check out the Care and Counsel Library today. This is the newest and most comprehensive resource from June Hunt and the Ministry of Hope for the Heart. Developed over the span of 35 years with the help of pastors, counselors, and ministry leaders, the Care and Counsel Library is the culmination of June Hunt's lifelong dedication to provide biblical hope and practical help on real life issues. The Care and Counsel Library is a 50-topic, 10-volume set of books which provide clear answers from God's Word on issues such as anxiety, abuse, addiction, grief, and more. This is a must-have resource for anyone who wants to grow in biblical wisdom. And right now, you can save 25% when you get the whole set. Check out the Care and Counsel Library today at hopefortheheart.org/CCL. That's hopefortheheart.org www.hopeinthenight.org/CCL. You're listening to Hope in the Night with June Hunt. This is a ministry of Hope for the Heart, offering God's truth for today's problems. We exist because of your ongoing prayers and continued support of the ministry here. We thank you for that. Our customer support team is available at 800-488-HOPE anytime Monday through Friday, 8 to 5 Central Time. They'd like to talk with you and just see what of our resources will connect with you. And maybe there's a struggle, a situation, just some questions that you have about something going on in your life. We'd like to help you with the resources that will help you to work through that, to find some solutions to those biblical, practical solutions to those issues. So give us a call and talk to our customer support team. They're happy to help with our resources and suggestions there. Well, let me recommend one of our keys for living. We have the topic of trials called God's Refining Fire, and that's one of the many resources we have in our Keys for Living library. You can talk to customer support about that. Well, if you'd like to speak with June on a future broadcast of Hope in the Night, please give us a call at 800-NIGHT-17. That's 800-NIGHT-17. And when you call, you'll just leave a message. We'll get back to you as soon as we can to talk to you about what questions you have and then to schedule you for an upcoming Hope in the Night. That's 800-NIGHT-17, 800-644-4817. Let's return to our conversation with Yoli.
Well, my friend, I'm going to ask you a specific question. If you could get anything from our conversation this evening, what would you hope it would be?
Not to feel the regret that I feel and I carry about the decisions that I've been making. To get beyond regret, because that's what I feel. I feel like I just keep making these wrong decisions.
Well, from what I heard from you, you did come to Texas to help your son, because that's what he asked you to do. And that looked promising. I mean, I would consider that a joy to be able to be with a grandchild or several grandchildren and to seek to. But what you described was something very bizarre. You said there were spirits in the house. There was a dark cloud of rebellion. There seemed to be a troubled home life where your son was. And so that, you know, you can't know, I mean, I don't have the gift of foreknowledge to know ahead of time what God knows. But so that doesn't mean that it is wrong. It may be God brought you to Texas, to the Austin area, to enable you to have a job you wouldn't think of, you know, something that really would be meaningful. And sometimes I've used a phrase, I'm just going to give it to you. It's when God gives us a holy boot. He boots us out of one place that we typically wouldn't leave, but he boots us, again, this is my term, it's not in Scripture, but it's the holy boot to get us to a place where he wants us. And then in time, he will fulfill the purpose for our move, our purpose, his purpose for why he wants us in a particular locale. I've seen it over and over and over. So it wasn't what you thought it would be with your son and the children because of circumstances you knew nothing about. And so I think the issue is to pray now, okay, Lord, you've brought me to Austin, Texas, to that area. I'm willing to do whatever your purpose would be. And it does sound like now you have not just one job, but as you indicated, you needed a second job, and now it appears that you have it. Am I correct about that?
Right. So I don't have the second job, but the employer reached out to me this week.
Ah, okay.
But I did want to, if it's all right, if I can share with you the second half of the story.
Of course. Yes, please.
Yes. Yeah, so when I got here last year, I had to go back to California, and I left my keys with my son. I said, Matthew, you know, please, these are for you only. So I gave him three set of keys, and then I drove all the way to California, and I drove back by myself. I had to handle some business. And then when I came back, I was in their home, and my alarm kept going off on my vehicle like 1:30 in the morning, just odd times. And I kept saying, you know, what, did you see anything on the camera? And his wife would say, no, Mom, I don't see anything. So then I, you know, discernment and the Spirit of God in me, I started having a funny feeling. I said, it was just different things happening. So I started looking through the things in my car. Long story short, she had been in my vehicle, had went through some things, like I had some tax papers I had brought from California, just a bunch of stuff I had in my vehicle, not thinking that she was going to go in my car.
Mm-hmm.
So today, which is, what, April 26th?
Yes, well, it's the 27th, I think. Or, well, maybe, no, it is 26th. That's correct.
So this is April. And since October of 2023, she has been entering my vehicle, destroying things, my possessions in my car. And I had a talk with my son. I met with him October 15, 2023 in Killeen, Texas. And I'm trying to explain to him what she's doing. She made keys while he was asleep because no one else has keys to my vehicle. And I'm trying to explain this to my child. And he basically turned the whole thing around, saying that it was probably me. I destroyed these things in my car. So I was livid, of course. And I went on. And I'm son. I raised four sons. I've been a foster mom. I'm an educator. All this stuff. I'm like, son, what would it profit me to destroy my own things? So it was just so far-fetched, and I just told him I regret coming here. That's how I ended. I said, you know, I really regret coming, and that was it. And so it really hurt me, but I went to the sheriff's department in Austin, and they say they need proof. I did file a complaint because she's coming to my job while I'm working, and she's tracking me, and that is why I have been sitting for 2 days straight in my car, 24 hours, just in the car, praying and crying out to God, like, this is too much. I did not come here to be harassed like this, and I've done absolutely nothing. And everyone I talk to, Sister June, they want to say, well, what did you do? What did you do to her? And I'm like, I'm
okay.
A Christian. I haven't done anything.
I understand. My concern is some people are not emotionally healthy. They are not emotionally stable. I'm talking about your daughter-in-law. And therefore, and sometimes people use the word toxic. Some people are toxic, and I think if there's any way, there are times when we need to, as Jesus did, he shook the dust off his sandals, his feet, and he left. And I mean, there are times when, and I'm thinking one time when I had a very toxic person, and I thought in my life, and I was very aware that this is not healthy, and so I had to avoid that person. And this had to do with somebody who was in our ministry, and we had to release that person. And then on occasion, I would see her, a very talented person, but I knew things that most people didn't know, where she was unethical. And so I remember thinking, it is better not to have contact, because if she sees you, like if she were to see me, I wouldn't trust what she would do or what she would say to other people. And it sounds to me like there is a parallel here. We're told bad company corrupts good character. Bad company corrupts good character. And so therefore, and many times you don't have a choice. It could be like a needy parent or something like that, that you can't get away from where you have to. But in this case, I see no benefit in you having a continual. You can try to do certain things to get compensation back. Sometimes it's impossible. But clearly, there are times when God will want you to not be involved with a toxic person, because typically then all you get is poison. And most situations, there can't be, I understand you went to the police, but it requires actual proof. Sounds to me like that's what they're saying. And if you don't have that, it may be that you're needing to actually be in a different environment. But I think it could be resented in the long run if you try to get something back from your daughter-in-law. I think your son, you might one day be able to have a positive relationship with him, but he may feel too much pressure from his wife. If you can do any kind of a clean break and just ask the Lord, where are you wanting me? What can I do? It may be another city in the state of Texas. It could be, but there, I can listen to you about what you consider are your options. But just understand, you're not abandoned by God. The Lord loves you. He has a plan for you. And I would claim that scripture, Jeremiah 29:11. I know the plans I have for you, plans to prosper you, not to harm you.
Hi, this is Haley Scully with Hope for the Heart, and I want to invite you to the Hope Together Conference this September in Allen, Texas. If you're involved in your church, if you have a heart for helping others, or if you're a professional counselor or life coach, this is the conference for you. We have an exciting 3 days planned with training, networking, workshops, and an incredible lineup of speakers, including Lee Strobel, James E. Ward Jr., Nick Vujicic, Crystal Evans Hurst, June Hunt, Steve Arterburn, and more. This event will be an encouraging and refreshing time of equipping with brothers and sisters who are doing similar ministry just like you. Hope Together is an in-person and live stream event. You can learn more and sign up at hopetogether.com. That's hopetogether.com. I hope to see you there.
We would love your prayers here at Hope for the Heart. Over and over in God's Word, the Lord encourages us to lift up one another in prayer. We are reminded in 2 Corinthians 1:11, you help us by your prayers. So we want to encourage you to join the prayer team of June Hunt and the ministry of Hope for the Heart. You can join the Hope for the Heart prayer team at hopefortheheart.org/pray. When you sign up to join our prayer team, we will send you an email each month to keep you updated with the latest prayer needs of June Hunt and the ministry of Hope for the Heart. Our prayer team is a great way to stay connected and support June and support the Hope of the Night broadcast. We are so grateful for your prayers and support of our listeners and friends like you who make this ministry possible. You can join our prayer team at hopefortheheart.org/pray. That's hopefortheheart.org/pray. And thank you for partnering with us in prayer.
Welcome back. I'm Jeff Oliver. You're listening to Hope in the Night with June Hunt. We're a ministry of Hope for the Heart. If you have questions or concerns about the topics on the program tonight, if something has piqued your interest, just call our customer support team at 800-488-HOPE. They're available Monday through Friday, 8 to 5 Central, and they'll help you access the appropriate resources for whatever questions you have. Recommending tonight the Keys for Living called Trials, God's Refining Fire, and that can be ordered. If you'd like to get that ordered through customer support, they can do that and get that to you very quickly. So the number again, 800-488-HOPE. Also, you can email them at customersupport@hopefortheheart.org. That's customersupport@hopefortheheart.org. Well, let's return to our conversation with Yoli.
Well, Yoli, I'm hearing that the home life, where your son is, and just what's happened with your daughter-in-law, that's a very toxic, negative experience for you. And to me, it sounds like the door is shut there. I would not continue to pursue anything with the police. I think that could do further damage to your relationship with your son. Many times I've seen where a son-in-law can have such pressure by an unhealthy wife. There's verbal and emotional abuse, and he can turn against his mother. I've seen this over and over, and it hurts my heart when that happens. When I've been involved kind of on the outskirts, and so in other words, it's something that happens like with POWs. It's called mind control. They are influenced in such a way that they cannot see the situation rationally, and therefore, I think for you to have an independent life at this point, unless something changes in the future in your son's situation. So those are my opinions. What do you need to do to start over somewhere?
Okay, so I left Celine when you were saying that earlier about praying. I wrote that down. Lord, where do you want me to be? So mm-hmm. I was in Celine, and I said, "Well, I'll get my old job back." So I came to Pflugerville, and that was like an hour and 10 minutes away, I figured, from their home. But mm-hmm. the problem is she comes out weekly still, even though it's an hour and 10 minutes away from their residence. She still drives to my job because she's tracking me. I don't know how, but she's tracked me to my job. And then while I'm working, she enters my vehicle at will. And I just think that's that's unlawful. It's wrong. And yes. I'm like, God is a just God. And I was like, that's why I went to the sheriff's, because I was like, on a spiritual note, this is wrong. And naturally, this is wrong. And this is senior harassment. I'm 63. I'll be 64 next month.
Wow. Can you go to a dealership and get new keys made for your car?
Sure, I can look into that. Sure.
Because many times, what I heard you say earlier, that she made copies of the keys that were in the possession of your car, that was in the possession of your son, and so I think you need new keys, just like if it'd be the same if you needed new keys for a house because someone has access. So I would definitely do that if you're going to stay in, and you're right, she's driving a long distance. But as long as she's doing that, I think for you to have new keys to the car.
I can do that.
Okay. What else is being problematic right there? Is she causing difficulty at your place of employment?
No, just things in my vehicle. So
okay.
My cousin, who's older than me, she told me not to leave anything unopened because the enemy is using her to try to harm me. So I used to leave, say if I had some coffee in a thermos. I just mm-hmm. But now anything open, I just take it with me,
okay.
Even my water. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I know you said earlier, in their home, it's like there were these spirits in this house. Do you believe that there is some type of negative spirit involvement, which could be demonic?
Oh, for sure. Yes.
Okay.
Hands down.
Okay.
Yes. Hands up to the Lord and hands down to the devil. Yes.
Okay. Are you able, if we send you something, are you able to get that at your place of employment?
No, but I gave the producer my mailing address.
Okay, good. All right, because I'd like to send something to you also that would be on spiritual warfare.
Okay.
Because I think it's vital to realize that if we're dealing with what is described in Scripture, there are times when people have a spirit that's not from God. And we're talking about there are times when we need to, what the Scripture calls, put on the full armor of God. But what you can do is look at the material and see if there are certain things for you to apply for your situation. I think, do you have someone who understands spiritual warfare that you are a friend with, or somebody in a church? That are you in a solid church right now?
I am not. I am not. I have not found a church. I listen to The Bridge every day, mm-hmm. day and night. I listen to
Good.
All the great ministers of the gospel.
Yes.
But I do not attend a church.
A thought that I have, you could call that excellent radio station and ask or go to their office and just say, I would like to find a church. I know, for example, the general manager, Gene Bender, and for you to say, I need a solid church, a biblically based church. Could I have recommendations of several churches? And there are people there that are godly and that could give a recommendation of, because, you know, you can feel very lonely when God actually lets us know that there's scriptures like, as iron sharpens iron, so one person sharpens another. We're told the benefit of having certain people in our lives, a godly friend, that there's a friend that sticks closer than a brother. And so for you to pray for God to put you with his relationships, in other words, people that are right for you, like for there to be, there can be a evening Bible study among those who are would be excellent in your age group, and because truly we need godly friends, we need people in our lives that are encouragers, and you might be the answer to prayer for someone who is looking for a godly woman. And we're not talking about just one person. There could be several that could be a blessing to you. Because really, you think about it, just like Jonathan and David, they had a precious, a magnificent bonded relationship. There are people that God will put into your life so that there can be that kind of ministry, and you can be a blessing to others around you also. It'll be a blessing to you and a blessing to them. So I think but it needs to be a biblically based church where people carry their Bibles and study the Bible together. And you can visit several churches and ask for the church of his choice. What do you think about that?
Yes, that sounds wonderful. I have visited about just two churches, just a couple, and I didn't feel like that's where the Lord wanted me to be,
right.
So I'm still seeking, but a lot of it, you know, I don't feel like a typical person who gets a good night rest and all that and can shower. Like, I'm being challenged in a lot of ways.
Of course.
So when Sunday rolls around, I don't feel like it's so much I have to do to try to be, for me to feel like I would fit in a church setting, dress-wise, looking-wise, all that, that I just don't do it. So,
God knows that. Yeah, God knows that. And so, therefore, he knows the Bible actually says, do not forsake the assembling of yourselves together. So he wants us to be involved in a church, I'm talking about a church fellowship where there can be the iron sharpening iron. You know, I love the scripture that says, if one falls down, his friend can help him up, but pity the man who falls and has no one to help him up. What we see is there are relationships that can be literally God-ordained. And that's what you want. And you can learn from each other, benefit one another, and that can be right. Because, again, since the scripture says, do not forsake the assembling of yourselves together, I think that can be a blessing. Beyond compare. And so find out from the radio station their recommendation of several churches. And if you need to go to the, at least inquire at the top, the general manager, and ask the assistant, what do you recommend? And God will not be far away. He is with you through this one.
We will send the Keys for Living called Spiritual Warfare, Strategy for the Battle. Send that out to tonight's caller, and we're able to do that because of you and your generous support of this ministry. If you'd like to give to keep those resources going out and to keep this program on the air, you may do so at hopefortheheart.org/givehope, and we thank you. You may order resources for yourself at 800-488-HOPE anytime, Monday through Friday, 8 to 5 Central Time, and our materials and past programs are available at hopefortheheart.org. Also, our program can be found on all major podcast platforms. Until next time, for June Hunt, I'm Jeff Oliver saying you hang on to hope.